morning, I want our minds to get onto missions and in particular farming. Now, the word farming may not mean much to you, but around Rotorua there's lots of farming and lots of farming in this country. But the farmer is mentioned in the Bible many times because the farmer is expecting a harvest. He's doing something about getting a harvest, producing a harvest. And so when I think about that in our own lives today, the farmer and what he does as concerning missions. So let's have a word of prayer. I want this message to sink into your heart this morning. Father, we thank you again for this place and what you're doing here. We ask now you'll speak to our hearts in a special way. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. So many things we could speak about, but this is the subject this morning, the farmer. And we pray, Father, that you will indeed help us realize that all of us, in a sense, are farmers, and all of us should be producing a harvest, some fruit. And we pray that this will be something that will cause us to go home and think today. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three things I want to bring to your attention about farming, and maybe you should write them down. Always take notes in church. That's a good practice. Number one, if you're going to be a good farmer, you have to learn to plow. Ploughing is something that we do with modern machinery in New Zealand, but on the mission field, they still use oxen. They still sometimes use human beings to pull the plow. And they strap things around their heads and pull, and then other people are trying to hang on to bits of leather and so on to make a straight line and plow the ground. It's tough work, amen? Especially if it's in the mud, sometimes on the rice fields, it's tough going to plow anything in the mud. Mud is sticky and difficult to work with. So plowing is the main thing. Secondly, there's planting. And on the mission field, a lot of people don't realise, but planting is the most difficult part as far as physical work is concerned. Planting is where you don't get much reward. A lot of people do planting, and then somebody else comes along and has a harvest, and they go around bragging about what they've accomplished. I went there, and I preached, and 1,000 people became Christians. No, somebody else planted long before you arrived. Amen? And in the eyes of God, that person, that planter, is the person who's going to get much of the reward. Not so much the guy who came to preach and made a big fanfare about how many people got saved. Be very careful where you give credit nowadays. A lot of the people who say they're evangelists even ramble and rave about people to get saved, but the pastors are mainly the ones who do all the ploughing. The pastor does all the ploughing, the planting, and then somebody else pulls all the cream off the top and takes all the credit. You understand? So the two things there are important, ploughing and planting. And then the last one is producing. You've got to produce something if you're a farmer, or else you're in debt every year. And many farmers in Australia are in debt up to their necks. And they keep hoping for next year, next crop. And I think the average in Australia is 3 out of 10 crops are good. So you have to live off the 3 crops out of the 10 to make it all happen. That's pretty risky, wouldn't you say? That's risky. That's why farmers often have many things on their farms. They'll have sheep, they'll have cows, they'll have other things, they'll have wheat and barley and this and that. In case one or two fail, they've got something else to fall back on. That's farming. It's risky. And as Christians, we are to be successful farmers, keeping in mind those 3 points this morning. Farming. So you have the tools, you have the seed, you have everything. The other thing you need to keep in mind is pruning. When I go to Eastern Europe, for instance, if you go to the market, everything's tiny. The pears are tiny. They're this big. The apples are this big. They don't know how to prune things. And then they've got moths in them. They've got other animals inside them. And when you take one bite, it's horrible in the middle. Amen? There's no pruning. And no one knows what to do. They think it's a shocking thing to be cutting a tree. Amen? It's a bad thing. Well, if you don't prune, you don't get much fruit. That's the unfortunate part of it. So you don't get much lovely fruit when you go to Eastern Europe unless it's imported. But we are to produce fruit. The Bible is clear about that. So your harvest is your reward. That's your reward. And think about it. What have you waiting for you? Where have you planted? Where have you ploughed, even as a young person? Where have you ploughed, or what are you ploughing? Now, a lot of young people get all excited when they're young. They come to camp, they get all wound up, they make decisions at camp, and then all of a sudden, they get married or they're pregnant or something happens, and then it's all gone. And then for the next 10 years, the whole concentration is on babies. So it's just on children. And will it be a blue room or a pink room? And will it be this or that? And all the other stuff that God had spoken to them about at camp has vanished. And everything is concentrated now on having a family. Well, you can have a family somewhere else too. Keep that in mind, will you? You can have a family on the mission field. Just as comfortable as you can at home. It's just away from home, that's all. But a lot of decisions are made at camp that last 5 minutes. And then they're gone. And that's frustrating because you see young people year after year and then suddenly they're not there anymore. Why? Well, they made a foolish decision. They made a hasty decision, and they can't keep that promise. They can't keep it going. So there'll be no fruit, there'll be no harvest, and there'll be no reward at the end. So getting married, young people, isn't the all in all. Finding the will of God is the all in all, because that in the will of God, you'll find the right person to marry. In the will of God, you'll find the right work to do. But if you start going at it the other way around, you're going to wind up just looking after you and your family. That'll be your life, you and your family. And that, to me, doesn't make much sense. Amen? So let's think about the ploughing to start with. Why do farmers plough? Why are farmers particular about ploughing? They know that if you don't plough, things don't grow. Things don't grow. And so you have to do some ploughing. That's where the farmer is up late hours. That's where he's on his tractor hours and hours on end, trying to keep the line straight, trying to keep the tractor going, trying to know what he's doing. You know, he can't control the weather. Listen, you can't control circumstances. When you're on the mission field, things happen that are way beyond your control. So you have to learn to trust. To trust God. Amen? There's not things there that you have here. You don't just go to the convenience store. In Africa, if you have a flat tire, it's an all-day affair. It's not you go down there and then 20 minutes later it's back on your car again. No, it's an all-day affair. You with me? Some guys to get on there with hand tools and pull off a four-wheel drive tire, and then he's got to dip it in the big bathtub and he can't find a hole in the tire. He puts it back on a car and it leaks again and he has to spend another hour getting it off. It's like wrestling a python, amen? And you're sitting there all day. Things don't happen there like they do here. You're in a convenient world. You're in a fairy world. That's the real world out there. You're in a make-believe world where everything happens too quickly. too conveniently. So ploughing is something that really takes time, patience and hard work. Many people leave the farm. You know why? They're looking for something easier to do. Farming is not easy because there's so many unpredictable things that can happen on a farm that can shatter your life and your dreams and your certainly your finances and your family, that suicide is amongst the highest problems in Australia. And most of that is where there is farming. Massive amount of suicide. Because farmers really run a great risk of going bankrupt. And so our government now is having to go and help farmers. Can you believe that? It's hard to believe, but that's what's happening. Now we as Christians, we are to be looking for a harvest. It means you have to do a lot of hard, back-breaking work because, listen to me, just giving to missions doesn't mean you're going to bear a lot of fruit. Some of you have never, ever knocked on someone's door to tell them about Christ. That's farming. Are you with me? That's farming. You're hoping the pastor gets paid to do that. No, no, that's your job. Your job is to go out and be a farmer. Plant some of your own. Amen? Plant your own. Go out. Knock on a door. Tell them what you know. Tell them what you've got. Tell them where you go to church. Some of you say, well, I'm a man. No, you're a mouse if you don't go out. You're a mouse. You go everywhere else and brag about what you can do and you're a great athlete and great this and great that, but you're too scared to knock on someone's door. You're a mouse. And there'll never be a harvest for you. There'll never be any fruit for you. And you can't blame the pastor. God won't let you stand next to the pastor and blame him. You have to make it happen. Amen? You have to get rid of the fear of someone shutting the door in your face. Well, big deal. Go to the next door. There's thousands of them. There's plenty of them. Go. Your children are watching you, and if you don't go, they won't go. And then you'll end up with a whole church of people who won't go. The church, listen, the church is like a mobile army. We're supposed to go out and conquer. Amen? And that's ploughing. You've got to go out and plough. You can't just sit and wait for them to come here and say, I've always wanted to come to your church. That's fairyland stuff. You've got to go find them. We just sang about it, didn't we, a minute ago? What does the song say? Bring them in. It doesn't say, wait for them to come. That verse isn't there, is it? Wait for them to come. It says, bring them in. And doesn't just say it once, it says it many times. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of what? Sin. So mission starts at home. Say amen. It starts at home. This church, by next year, in a year's time, should be full. Absolutely full. No standing room even left. Amen. By next year. Now, you've already picked up quite a bit in the last month or two. Amen? Let's keep at it. But what you're picking up really is just a few folks that left. Now you've got to go find some fresh ones. Amen? Fresh new blood. Say it with me. Fresh new blood. Say it again. Yeah, you can't live on stale old people. Amen? You got to keep bringing in fresh blood, young people, young children. You got to bring them in. Bring them in. That's ploughing. Ploughing through the place. Now I want to tell you this. As Christians, we can't relax in the sense of going out. We can't relax. And I'll tell you why. There are people out there, and not just here in Rotorua, but all around the globe, there are people and they're looking for something. Listen to me very carefully. There are people out there looking for unguarded gardens. Now, you may not understand what I'm saying here. There are people out there looking for churches that are not guarding their people. There are people looking for little mission fields here and there that are unprotected and unguarded by missionaries or other people. And then these people wait for the perfect opportunity to move in and steal people. Now, why do you think I'm begging for people to come and help us? Even if you're just going to be a guard, even if you're just coming to help us to keep the people we have, that all these other people, listen, the people I'm talking about are lazy people. They don't go out and find people. They come and find people who've already been started and who are already partly discipled and who are partly fed. And because we don't have enough people to keep them and keep them together, these people come, and because they're unguarded, we lose them. So I'm not asking you to come to the mission field because you're a great preacher. I'm asking you to come to help us to keep guard of the things we already have. Are you with me? And our movement doesn't have time for those sort of people, unfortunately. That's another big mistake we've made. We only support preachers. We don't support people. And we need support people. We need them. Poor old Teresa, which is from Brother Miller's church. She's doing all the work by herself. She's run her legs off, man. Her legs are literally run off. And yet there are people here who could be there, who could be helping her, taking the load off her a little bit and helping her to preserve what she's got and start more ministries, but we can't find anybody because we're all so comfortable. Hello? And one day she's going to drop dead and that whole ministry is going to fall in a hole. And everyone will say, whatever happened to poor Teresa? Well, what happened was people didn't care. I can't even find somebody to send her some vitamins to loosen up her joints so she can keep moving. But yet we find the money to buy a new TV set and a new car and a new this and a new that. You see what I'm saying? And then there are these people, these vultures I'm talking about, waiting to take her ministries. By the time she gets in about 10 years from now, she won't be able to stand up. And what does your life amount to compared to hers then? If you add it all up, put stack one next to the other, think, well, I could have been there. I could have helped. I could have been alongside somebody to help. I could have started a pig farm. I could have started a cow dairy farm. I could have raised some goats to support somebody's ministry, but I'm sitting here. No one wants to do the ploughing. Everybody wants to have a harvest, but nobody wants to do the ploughing. How's that other song go? Everybody wants to feast at my table, but what? I forget how that song goes. Talks about they all want to eat, but nobody wants to serve. That's how it is, folks. Amen? I stand there and watch poor Sister Teresa, man. I mean, she doesn't sit still. She's got so much going on, she can't sit still. And all we're doing is raising a family. That's all we do. A lot of us, that's all we do. Our whole life consists of that. Well, where's the fruit? Amen? Where is the fruit? That's the question. Who's going to do the hard ploughing? We have men that need teaching. We have men in the middle of Mozambique, which is a wreck. Mozambique is a wreck. It's had 15 years of civil war. It's a wreck. And I can't find one man to go over there to teach. I got pastors there that are screaming at me. They're screaming at me. They're saying, who's going to come and teach us? And you know what I tell them? Everybody in our country is asleep. What else can I tell them? Amen? Amen? America has 320 million people. I can't find one guy. Australia's got people sitting in churches doing nothing. I can't find one guy. All you need to do is be able to ride a motorbike and teach a Sunday school level. And that's it. That's the end of it. Notice, you don't need a certificate from me or anybody else. You don't need a piece of paper, a diploma or anything. Just go and do it. And you will have a harvest. You will. Amen? We could start a business in any of those countries and do the ploughing and support the whole ministry. Start a dairy farm, start an animal farm, start something, and we could get it done. Some of you could do all that. But, you know, you just don't want to leave the comfort. Amen? And just look at yourself. Go home and look at yourself and say, well, what did we do yesterday and a week before and a week before and a week before and a week before? Really, what did it all amount to? And then you have these splits in families where one wishes to want to go, one's busting to go, and the other one's busting to stay. You have that situation. Amen? And that's sad enough. But the ploughing, folks, who's going to do the ploughing? Amen? Who's going to do it? And then who's going to come and steal all that we're doing because we are not able to protect what we have? You know, there are people looking for fresh sprouts. They're out there. The Pentecostal church, you know what they do? All they do is run around the world and take people from other churches. They don't go and find people. They steal people. Because our people are unguarded. We don't have enough guards. Our young people, all they think about is the next telephone they're going to buy. That's all that revolves around their head, or getting pregnant. That's it. Or having another boyfriend, and that's it. That's all that spins around their little empty heads. That's pretty sad when you think that tomorrow morning, from now till tomorrow morning, 110,000 people have arrived in hell with no hope of ever getting out. And we're worried about, can I afford to buy the next Samsung or Apple that's coming out? And I've got to line up in a tent for 3 nights to make sure I get the first box. Are you a nut? Are you an idiot? But that's the world we live in, amen? That's where we're at. And unfortunately, some sophisticated Christians that should know better, they're just as bad. They have everything and still haven't got enough. They've got everything, but it's still not enough. And they've got a cupboard full of electronics that after a year are no good, and have spent all that money on their children and Xbox and everything else. We've fed them up to their necks until they're fed up even playing with that stuff. And still we're not satisfied in life because there's going to be no fruit. There's no fruit. Look at your home. Look at it. Where is the fruit? What have you produced? What? And don't say, I come to church. That's not part of fruit. Amen? Don't say that. I come to church. And don't say, I give. That's not part of the fruit. That's just normal. That's what you're supposed to do. And the money's not yours anyway to give. Amen? It always all belonged to God. So you can hardly say you've done something there. So outside of that, what are you doing and what are your children doing and in what direction are you heading in to produce any fruit? Why are we so hell-bent to make this life good when this life is so short compared to eternity where you're going to spend all of the rest of your time? That is where you should be building something. That is where the interest should be. That is where the inventory will be of what you've done. That is where it will all come to an end and ahead. What ploughing have you done? Amen? I feel bad sometimes. I meet many wives whose husbands are either lost, or they're saved and they're dead. You know what you're doing if you're a husband and you're stopping your wife from wanting to go to serve God? You have literally stolen her reward. You've literally stolen her reward in heaven. Because of your selfishness, you've stolen it. She wanted so much to do it, and you wouldn't allow it, and you stole it. And you'll be the one who'll end up with nothing. It's the sad part. Sometimes we don't think about that, do we? That we can literally steal other people's reward because of our selfishness. So ploughing is the hard part. There is a time when we have to do the ploughing, but then there's a time, planting is another time, and I'm going to ask you something. What have you planted anywhere in Rotorua? What have you planted? Has there ever been a time when you created some work that got you near people, that gave you the opportunity to speak to people, you created situations? Or does your life just, I wake up, I go to work, I come home, we have dinner, and then I go to bed? Is that it? Is that it? I couldn't live like that, Pastor. I really couldn't. It'd be so boring. I've got to create things in my life that get me near people, that get me right into their face and into their lives so I can make something happen in their life. You know, I'm happy. I'm happy if I can make you happy. I'm happy if I can make you satisfied in life. I'm happy if I can bring something into your life that can make your life better. But most of us can't even do that. And so when we go and plant the seed, the Bible tells us quite literally that there are four kinds of people, and you've all read the story, haven't you? There are four kinds of people that we're going to be speaking to, amen? And we won't go into the whole story, but there's the wayside hearer, amen? The wayside hearer. Now, the wayside hearer basically hears the word, he gets excited, and then the devil steals it. It's like, I got saved yesterday, and I've forgotten it tomorrow. Amen? It's gone. And so you think about that. But I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, mostly to the book of John chapter 15. And I want us to look at that for a moment this morning, John chapter 15. You all found it? I am the vine, and my Father, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In your life, you are supposed to produce fruit. There's no choices given here. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. See, walking with God produces fruit. And if you don't walk with God, the answer is obvious. You're an empty Christian. It's empty. There's no one in church because of you. Have you ever thought about that? Who is here because of you? Who is in any other church because of you? Ever thought about that? Who? Is there anybody here because of you? Because that would be considered some fruit, amen? Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. People who produce fruit have their prayers answered. You see that there? Have their prayers answered. A lot of the time we don't have answers to prayer because there's no fruit in our lives. Amen? Verse 8, here is my Father glorified, that you bear how much? How much? How much? Much fruit. Much fruit. Now, I said before, you can't be saying that you give and that's producing fruit. It's when you give more than you can afford that you start producing something. When you start giving where it actually really hurts, then God will start producing something. And I came to that last year, early this year actually. I've been doing a lot of work in Burma because Burma's just opened up to spiritual things. And I said to God, I want to be able to establish some independent Baptist churches there. And God said, are you serious? And I said, yes, I'm serious. And God says, no, you're not. Because I know it's going to cost money. He said, no, you're not. I said, Lord, I'm serious. And God said, okay, then go down to the bank and take all your superannuation money out. Every penny. Take all your savings money out. Every cent. And then plunge it into Burma. And then I said, all right, kind of slowly. I accumulated 50 grand. Now, some of that money had been given me to put into children's work, which I hadn't been able to find a good group of children's workers, but I have found them in Burma. So between that money and my money, it worked out about $50,000. I took it all. It's all gone. Are you with me? So my accountant looked at me when I told him. He said, you're mad. I said, yeah, I'm mad for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now it's all gone. I'm very relieved, actually, to tell you the truth. I'm very relieved. And I can see already we bought land. We've already got a young man and an older man ready to step in to become the first pastor. We've got a children's ministry started already. And we've got 15 teenagers already trained up, ready to go. Okay, it's already producing fruit. Now I'm going to ask you, are you serious? You've got to think a little bit about this now, haven't you? Are you really serious? I mean, when you get to heaven, do you really think God's going to give you something for nothing? Do you? No. Salvation was free. That's where it all stops. You understand? That can't be compared to money. But past salvation, above that, there's nothing for free in heaven. So do you really think that you're serious as a Christian right now? Or do you have plans of another house and another house and another house and another car, another three cars, and then you're going to give it all to your children so they can waste it all, which is probably going to happen? Are you going to live like that? Or are you going to say, well, I've accumulated this and I'm going to give it all to God and I'm going to watch it grow? Now tell me how serious you are about planting. Tell me how serious you are about abiding in the Lord here. How serious you are about much fruit. We don't think about this very often. Much fruit. Much fruit means a better time in heaven. Let's say it together. Much fruit means a better time in heaven. Say it again. Much fruit means a better time in heaven. Listen, there's different things that are going to be happening in heaven. It's not going to be the same for all of us. Get that into your head. Amen? It's not going to be a screenplay for all of us to go and see all of the time. It's not going to be a fun fest all the time for everybody. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven with massive regrets. Massive regrets. Because they left this world and left all their money to the devil. Think of the billions and billions and billions of dollars Christians will leave to people here on earth when they're gone. Simply because they waited too long to spend it and never got a chance to enjoy it and never got a chance to produce much fruit, and then it was too late and the heart attack came. I mean, you never got time to have fun with it, amen? Money is there to be spent. And some of you have given a lot, I know that. And God will bless you for it. But some of you, you're hanging on to dear life. You just want to succeed here. Listen, there's no success on earth. We're here to just do something for God, not to succeed. We're here to put people into the kingdom. We're not here to build a kingdom. It's to put people into the kingdom. Amen? Now try and imagine, people get confused here about the kingdom. In the Bible there are two kingdoms mentioned. One is the kingdom of heaven. The other one is the kingdom of God. Try and imagine this now. And don't misunderstand this. The kingdom of heaven is everything God has made. Everything is created, the universe, heaven, hell, the whole lot. It's all His, it's the kingdom of heaven. He's made the whole deal, okay? The kingdom of God is a smaller place where only Christians will be. Our job is to get people from the kingdom of heaven, in a sense, into the kingdom of God where we'll be as Christians. That's our job, getting people into the kingdom of God. And what are you doing? Are you plowing? Are you planting? And are you producing anything more than raising your family? We can get so tangled up in our families and feather our nest so much with our families that we can forget the kingdom of God. It's easy to do. Amen? So easy to do. I nearly got caught in it myself. I told my children, and I've told them again this year, I said, don't expect anything from Daddy. There's nothing left. Amen. Nothing. So, learn to trust God yourself. Amen? So they're out there producing fruit. That I'm not going to spoil them. I'm not going to buy them this and buy them that and buy them this and buy them that so they can all waste all the money that God's given me to spend on getting people into the kingdom. I'm not going to do that. I'm not one of these people that say, I'm looking after all my children. Well, whatever. If that's all your life is about, I found something out about children. They never pay you back all the years you spent paying for them. Some of you are about to find that out. Amen? Amen? Soon as they get a job, they're not going to come back to you and say, well, I feel, Daddy, that, you know, you spent 23 years feeding me. I feel like a quarter of my pay packet ought to come back to you now for the next 10 years. Are you kidding? Are you joking? When I was 17, I got my first job. When I was 24, my father gave me my first pay packet. Did you hear what I said? I never opened my pay packet from when I was 17, from my first day I worked, until I was 24, the day I got married. I never opened my pay packet. It went straight back into my family. I never touched it. I never bought clothes. I wore hand-me-downs. My friends would give me jackets and pants. I gave it all back to my parents. I said, you've loved me for 24 years. It cost you a fortune, and I'm giving it back to you now. And I got married. I had 10 cents in my pocket, and I'm still here. I'm still here. Now, some of you can't understand any of that, can you? Your mind's boggling right now, right? Right? But I lived in a day that was real. I wasn't looking for the next phone. I wasn't looking for the next iPad. I wasn't looking for the next car. I was looking to help my parents. I was looking to be thankful. I was looking to be grateful. And then when I got my first pay packet, it was like heaven. And the fruit started flowing. It just started flowing. The first thing happened immediately almost was someone paid for me to go to Bible college. I never paid a cent to go to Bible college. It's all paid for. First car I got was given to me. First house I lived in was given to me. Why? There was already fruit. I'm reaping the harvest. Amen? Amen? I've never spent my life worrying about having to buy another house, having to get another car. Why? Those things aren't, well, I know they happen to us, but they're not important to us, are they, Pastor? They're just things we have to have. But they're not things we sit around a table and worry about. Amen? They're God's problem. My fascination is, will there be fruit when I get there? I want them to be much fruit. When it all falls in the fire, will there be something left there? Jesus said, I'm going to prune you. And he's certainly done that to me. And if you want a bit of pruning, just ask him. Amen? He's got every size clipper. He'll clip your ears off and everything else and pin you to the barn wall if you want. But most of us never ask for the pruning. We just always want something better, but we don't want to be pruned. And so as we think about this, the farmer has to be patient, and the farmer has to learn that things don't just happen. He has to plow, prepare the ground, get the ground ready. Amen? Now, David Livingstone, who went to Malawi and did some work all through Malawi, he said this: if we wait till there's no risk, we'll never reach the world. If we wait until there's no risk, we'll never reach the world. And some of us are afraid of risk. Again, it's a trust thing. We're afraid to trust. And so that there's a risk there, we won't take it. Many missionaries won't go. They're supposed to go, but they'll never go because there's a risk. One guy told me, he said, I'm not going. He said, somebody might kill my child. I said, well, maybe somebody will run over your child down the street here one day and it'll be just as bad. Amen? Amen? What's the difference? There's no difference. All right? There is a risk in everything, but trust will get rid of the risk. If you're a Christian, you're not risking anything. Even marrying the right person is not a risk. If you love the Lord, you'll find the right person. If you're not walking with God, you'll marry the wrong person. And then that wrong marriage, even though it's two Christians, that wrong marriage will cost you the rest of your life and will cost you the rest of eternity. And the fruit is gone. There's no fruit. So when you go home, look at your little children, your little precious darlings, look at them and think to yourself, okay, what are we as a family accomplishing fruit-wise? What harvest will there be? And some of you are probably thinking, my children will go and do something great. Hang on a sec. What happened to you? What happened to you? Did you know the best missionaries are over 40? And the worst ones are under 40. Did you know that? Give me a 50-year-old any day rather than a 25-year-old who's got all the energy. He's likely to fail. Do you know how old the average missionary is on the mission field? Are you listening? 67. Where's the young blood coming up beneath the bottom? It's not. They're dying like flies, like 10-pin bowls. They're falling all over the place. And so that's why we're running around frantically trying to find people to help us. We're not even now, we're at the stage now where we're not even looking for missionaries. We're looking for service personnel who can help us preserve the little bit we have left. Are you with me? You understand? We're trying to hold the fort, for I am coming. Amen? Hold the fort. That's all we're trying to do right now. We're not winning. We're not increasing. We're not turning the world upside down. That's not happening. We're just trying to keep things going. And I look at people's lives and I stay in their homes sometimes and I wonder, what in the world? Your life is as boring as Thursday afternoon. Amen? It's no adventure. Nothing ever happens out of the ordinary. Amen. I would shoot myself if I had to live like that. I'd be off the first bridge, man. That's more exciting. Amen? Really? So you better know that you're right in the middle of the will of God. You're right in the middle of plowing and planting. And you know you're going to produce something because your life may be shorter than you anticipated. And when Jesus comes, it'll be shorter than you thought. And many of you young kids here are not going to have a full life. You young people either. You're not going to have a full life. It's not going to happen. So get your eyes off of that. You have to do more in a shorter time than I had to. Because the world is reeling. If you don't know what that means, look it up. The world is falling to pieces. No one knows how to lead things anymore. Every agreement they make falls apart. Everything they sign comes unstuck the week later. Amen? They can't hold it together. It's out of control. And Jesus will come and you'll think, I thought I had a whole life to raise a harvest. No, you don't. So quit playing with your toys, quit thinking about yourself, quit loving yourself, and get on with producing something so you'll have something in eternity. Because you may wind up in eternity still single. Still single. And nothing to show but an Apple phone. Gee, that'll be worth something in heaven. Won't it? That'll be worth something in heaven. So what are we going to do? Plant? What have you planted? Plow? Are we? Producing? Are we? Now I know Pastor's trying to bring this whole thing back into the church now because it's died. It just died, didn't it? I know it died because I haven't been here a long time. I know it's died. Now you have to refresh the whole program. It's called refresh. Amen? I'm illiterate on a laptop, but I know when you press refresh, something fresh happens. Is that right? I don't know. Is that what happens? What happens? Just what I said. Okay. So now is the time for you to evaluate where you are with your family. Because when you get to heaven, I can't stand next to you and say, oh, this is a great couple. No, I want God to say that. But your pastor will give an account of you. Yes, you will. And it'll be straight, it'll be honest, it'll be unpainted this way or that way. It'll be a straight account of what you actually did in this church. Now, he can't account for you anywhere else you've been, but he can account for you while you were here. What did you accomplish? And the main offenders will be the husbands. I'm sad to say, it's a worldwide problem. The main offenders will be the men. Because the women are miles ahead of most men. They're softer in the heart. They're softer to listen to God. They're prepared to work. They're prepared to go. They're prepared to give everything up. They can live in a simpler manner, and the men are the one who are the sticking point, who are half asleep, who don't want to move, who don't want to change, and who keep convincing themselves everything is okay. No, it's not. It's not. We have enough missionaries now to service the people we had in 1940. Think about that. The population size of the world in 1940, we have enough missionaries now to service that. And we've grown by 3 billion. Give it some thought. Do I need help? You better believe it. I need about 50 people right now. I need about $3 or $4 million right now. Just to preserve things that we've got going. So, am I worried about the next TV set in my house? No. I'm not worried about anything in my house. I'm worried for the lost. I'm ploughing to get the seed in. I'm wanting to produce. Let's stand as the pastor comes.